Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings. Welcome to another installment. And today we are talking about, differences.
Yes. As you know, we're male and female. So the differences are very real. Very, very real. I can get it done without makeup.
Get what done?
You know, my shower time is like maybe, 10 minutes shorter than yours? An hour, perhaps. There's just small things about us that we had to decide. Like, look, this is not going to change. Mm. She's a woman.
No, not she's a woman. She's Letitia. Like, she's Letitia. And he's Danny.
He's Danny.
Because I can promise you, there's somebody who's sitting at home saying, my husband is the one who takes the time in the shower. Even this morning, I can actually tell you, he took so long in the shower.
Well,
I was
morning,
like, what are you
she
doing?
She woke up an hour earlier than me, but we were ready at the same time because I took less time, right?
What we want to bring, you know, kind of our attention to today is we're going to talk about this more in marriage, but I think it's, you know, seen
it's
in
broad.
The broader,
yes.
You know, spec, and we'll look at it in church as well. But how we think that differences separate us, or differences means that we shouldn't walk together because of the differences. But, you know, when you watch movies, as we speak about marriage, when you watch movies, it's like, oh my goodness, we love the same things. There's that one movie, it's our movie.
We like this.
Every time we watch the movie. I mean, what's our favorite cake flavors? Red velvet and chocolate cake. So our wedding cake was red velvet and chocolate cake, like each layer, because we were like, that's us. We just love the same things.
Little did we know. As we got married, someone was watching soapies and the other person loved WWE.
Ew.
You know, and
the noise.
My wife could not understand the beauty. She said, but they're acting. I said, yeah, but you guys watch movies and they're acting on movies too. You know? So yeah, we had to realize that there were differences between us.
Are the differences bad though? Are they deal breakers? Like, because we don't like the same programming, sometimes you don't even like the same people.
Yes.
But I probably think that's a whole other show. But because we are not in agreement with, I think, like, emotional preferences, you know, lifestyle preferences, like one may want to really work out, or one may want to really be healthy, or one may, is it a deal breaker just because you don't like that thing? Because it feels like the world has made it like, if you don't like the same things within this marriage, just walk out. This is not your person. How do you see that working out?
I honestly think it's stupid and childish to want your partner to be you, you know? And I think we all go through that stage where you want the person to like what you like. But if you think about it, a company won't hire all the people to be accountants, you know. You need a lawyer somewhere there, you know. If the CEO, if everyone in the company was a CEO, what would you guys get done? Hey, go clean that. No, I'm the CEO, but I'm also the CEO too. You know, we see in business that people play different roles and we accept it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to marriages, we want to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, we don't recognize that differences help us cover certain loopholes.
Mm.
If your wife is better at bookkeeping than you, then the books will be done because it's not you doing it. And you need to accept your differences and appreciate your strengths instead of fighting them or wanting to do. And I don't understand that. Husbands, come to the table. I don't understand husbands who don't allow their wives to shine in areas where they are better than you. Dude, you don't want to have to do everything. Let her do things where she does better than you. Accept it. Why? It's one less thing for you to do. But even more than that, it's really an area where God's called your partner to shine. The same goes for wives. I mean, we're having marriages now where they're bringing business into the house. Some are bringing politics, you know, soccer teams. You know, it's okay for there to be a Pirates fan and a Chiefs fan in the same marriage. House. Or Arsenal and Manchester. It's okay. As long as we know that the differences work for us. At least if the team plays and one wins and the other loses, at least there'll be a winner in the house. Yeah. You know? It might not be you, but there's a winner. And I believe we have to embrace the fact that we don't know it all.
What are some of the biggest differences that, you know, you perhaps saw, I think, within us, which is like a shock of how can this even work? I'll start because I'm. So when we got engaged, so I'm the quieter one of, not quieter, but more of an introvert, definitely, of the two of us. No. Introverts, people misunderstand introverts.
Between the two of us, she is the introvert, but we speak the same. She speaks more than me.
Introverts are still introverts, even when they're comfortable with you.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with individuals. Like, if I'm comfortable with you, we will talk. You will think I'm this, you know, hyper-talkative person. Yes. But then when I'm not comfortable, I will stand in a corner when I don't feel free. Or so it's person-specific. It's not people-specific. My husband.
That's where I take over.
Yes, that's where my husband is.
I don't need to know you.
Yeah.
I don't have to have walked a long journey with you. We want to talk. We want to relate.
So when we first got into a relationship, it was such a shock for me for many reasons. Because I'm such a recluse and to myself, my world was also that way. My worldview was that way. That's why I wanted to be in a cubicle. So I get engaged to someone who is a Christian rapper. You know, do you understand what that meant? That meant we were going to concerts where people were singing his lyrics word for word. And I would remember people like jumping and the passion of this ministry, you know? And I'm just standing there thinking, oh my goodness, I can't be supportive like that because I don't even have rhythm. I don't even know how to fist pump high enough to like support him. So I had to learn like to get a little bit of rhythm and stuff in the beginning to feel like, okay, I'm supporting. But over time, I just learned that I don't have rhythm and I don't need to jump up and down to show that I'm supportive. But it was so night and day because here I was, nobody knew me. I wasn't talking to anybody. And I had this fiance who was literally on stage jumping up and down. And there was a point where I had to learn, and we both did in different aspects, that, and this is where Danny was talking about not stifling the call of your spouse's life just because it doesn't look like something your personality can handle, right? I had to learn that God has called him to this because for me at that time, what would have served me was a very conservative man who was just sitting in a suit next to me while some other rapper jumped on stage. What it didn't serve me back then to have the person jumping on stage being my fiance. But I learned that that was not just his call from God, but that was what he loved to do. And suddenly I loved it. I looked forward to it because the reason we want other people to be like us is because we're self-focused. So we can't even see how that difference can serve us within the relationship. how that difference can serve us within the body. So I just quickly want to jump into the scripture. We know how, you know, the Lord speaks of the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it's from 12 to 27, but I'm going to focus on 17. So it's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? When I was reading all of this, I realized that to have a body that's all legs is a monster. To have a body that's all eyes is a monster. You have a body that's all ears. That's a monster. It's not just a monster, but it cannot function. It cannot function as a body is meant to function because we are not allowing the individual parts of who we are to find expression, to find voice. And it also made me think of families, not just couples. Within a home, we are one body. We even have a family name. But somebody's the right arm. Somebody's the left arm. Somebody's the head. Somebody's the neck. Somebody's the torso, the legs, the toes, whatever. And whenever we stifle the call, the rightful call, the uncorrupted call of God on a person's life, we are chopping off a limb, a family's limb. And so a lot of our relationships, a lot of our marriages, a lot of our family lives are bodies without a head. Spiritually, they are bodies without an arm, bodies without a torso. That in itself is a frightening image of a lack of unity. It's interesting, when I look at the title of this explanation of the body of Christ, the title, this is the New International Version, says unity and diversity in the body. When we think of unity, we think of the same thing.
Yes.
But this thing is not speaking about unity in that sense. It's speaking about how these diverse parts of the body can come together to function as one. The error is to think that the unity we're speaking of means that we like the same thing and we watch the same movies and we speak the same way. It's interesting in my, I would say, quietness. Like, I get this a lot in ministry where people would say, oh, I didn't know that pastors could be quiet, like, not quiet, but you know, like the impassioned preaching that's louder. I get people always coming to me saying, oh my goodness, that means I can preach too because I'm not loud. I thought I couldn't preach because I'm not loud. And you even mentioned that because you were loud, you felt you should be a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
But the loudness was for something else. But my quietness is still for something else, right?
Yeah, we have to know that there are people who you will not reach just because you're loud.
Mm-hmm.
There are people
you will not reach by being soft.
That you won't reach because you're soft. And you are not called to be, and that's why maybe we have to appreciate the fact that we are called the body of Christ,
yeah.
Their hands and feet. Why? We're not just the eye of Christ, you know, because some of us are called to see.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are called to hear. Some of us are called to speak, but none of those roles are greater than the other. Some of it, maybe if you're the face, you might think, hey, because I'm the face, I'm better than the rest of them. But if your hands and your feet refuse to function, where are you going to go as the face? Are you going to walk on your tongue? You get me? Are you going to roll? To get to where you're going.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've seen this also in different ministries. If you're a prophetic ministry and maybe the one ministry is a teaching ministry, just because you don't understand the teaching ministry doesn't mean you have to undermine it.
Yeah.
Just because you don't understand deliverance ministry doesn't mean you have to undermine it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen believers saying, I don't understand it. So, They don't word it like that. They'll say, oh, there's something weird about that ministry. Oh, something doesn't feel right to me. Well, maybe it doesn't feel right to you because you're not called to it.
Yeah.
You're called to teach. So do your teaching. But allow those who are meant to do the deliverances to do the deliverances.
Yeah.
You know, because guess what? Jesus did deliverances. And we read that in scripture. So I find that sometimes, because it's not your area, you even use scripture to kind of cancel that ministry, you know, to undermine it just because you don't get it.
Yeah.
The same goes for gender. You know, we find males and females in scripture doing a lot of different things. Now, just because you are male or you are female, you can find the things that the females did wrong or the males did wrong and try to justify ministries you don't like, ministries you don't agree with, ministries that are called differently from you. Sometimes it's in music. You know, a lot of us don't know that there was a period where drums, playing drums or the electric guitar
was demonic.
They said no. When churches like your Hillsong started off, people were saying no. Today that could be accepted, but rap music, no, the Lord can't use that. Well, I'm going to ask a simple question. I asked this last time I preached. If God can use a donkey to speak, why can't he use women? Are we saying that donkeys are greater? If God can use a child, if we're even being encouraged to have childlike faith, why would God not use someone who's older? You know, we have to understand there's a place for the older. There's a place There's a place for the middle age. There's a place for even the divorced. Because sometimes those who've gotten divorced can come back and tell you, don't do it. I thought it will solve all my problems. But today I know it didn't. Sometimes it's also the divorce will come to say, well, I thought divorce is just the worst thing, but the Lord used it to deliver me. I almost died in that marriage. You know, so we don't know.
Don't disqualify the diversity that doesn't look like you. If it doesn't look like you in the ministry, it doesn't mean that God is not using it. It can just mean that you don't understand it. I quickly want to go back to the body and use it kind of like as, you know, an explanation. There's this thing called the middle ear balance. You know, a lot of parents will deal with that in their toddlers. Something happens, they can't hear, and now there's this imbalance situation. We actually had something similar. My son had something happening in his ears that affected the drainage of the snot, the nasal passage.
Yeah.
Because of that, he didn't speak as quickly as he was supposed to. He wasn't as active as he was supposed to be around the age of 2, and he wasn't sleeping very well. So this one default in the ear was affecting every aspect of this little boy's life. And when we started to realize, hey, his nose is always blocked, he can't breathe, and he's not sleeping, we go for that issue and we find out, oh, no, it's just the ear. So he went into surgery and everything was solved. Speech, sleeping, nose drainage, all of that was solved. In our relationships, be it in the body of Christ or in the body of our homes, our marriages, what's so dangerous is not realizing that when we stifle the nose in the home, the body, the lungs suffer. And sometimes we're suffering in the marriage because we've killed something about the spouse.
Yes.
And there's a balance that God wants from the functioning arms and legs and eyes and all of that, that helps balance the union in general. A good example can be that if the husband is feeling stifled, he's just depressed. And what does a depressed father and husband do to the household? Slowly, the household begins to disintegrate. Slowly, the marriage begins to disintegrate. Why? Because you've stuck a knife into your eyes saying it's not a nose, so we don't need it. But without the eyes, everything is dark. Without the eyes, everyone is blind. Think of the intricacy, the makeup of the eye. In medicine, there are specialists for each part of the body. You can be a doctor, but you can specialize in a certain part of the body. That's how intricate the body is. You can spend an entire career finding solutions, diseases, cures, and managing certain parts of the body. And because of the intricacy of the mouth, the intricacy of the ear, the intricacy of the eye can truly, like scripture says, think, why aren't you an eye? Look at all the work that goes into being an eye. And so now the eye can say, well, we don't need a mouth. You know how much work it takes to be me. But remove a mouth from a body and you've got a disability. Yeah. Don't walk with a self-imposed disability because you will not allow your spouse, the body, or the children to find expression as the organ that they may be in that space. God has called us differently. There is a diversity in unity. When we can bring those differences together, we cover every bit of the spectrum. So we cover the people that need the people person. We cover the people that need the introverts. And even the body, every function of the ear, the nose, the mouth, it covers the need of the entire being. Once one of those things are not functioning, there is not a holistic sort of functioning of everything that's going on. So within the marriages, just because you don't like the same things, just because you're not the same, doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Maybe you need to find how you can unify these differences to cover every aspect of your home. It's interesting, before the children, obviously we knew we were different, and I would always say I get peopled out. I actually got this from one of Danny's old ministry pastors, who said she would go places with her husband and she would just say, I am so peopled out, can we please go? You know, and I took that from her. But when we had children, one child is like Danny, one child is like me. So we've learned that those differences now help us balance out the home, because I'm going to deal with the child that's like Danny. I can't avoid my child because they're like their dad. He can't avoid the other child because they're like me. So when you understand that balance with the dad, it makes it so easy to deal with that child, because you understand even where they come from and why they think how they think. So you cover everything in the home.
So to wrap up, appreciate the differences. Don't see it as a stumbling block. Yeah. Instead, see it as having someone who sees your blind spots. Because this person will notice what you don't notice. Mm-hmm. They'll be more sensitive in areas where you are not. Mm-hmm. Find ways of making it work for you as a family. Don't allow it to slow you guys down. Don't allow it to cause fights. But if you guys can sit down and say, okay, this is your strength, how do you balance me? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I believe God is doing. Mm-hmm. He gives us the opposites, so we can balance each other out. Because sometimes your quietness is also isolating people, or sometimes your loudness is making people uncomfortable. Balance each other, love each other's differences. Until next time, thank you for watching.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambillies, you can just type in at the Vambillies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambilly, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambilly. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.